Cool.
Three. All right. Welcome, everybody. Two. Welcome to the Compound Growth Marketing Show. Today, we got Quincy Johnson and myself, John Short. Quincy just sang us in. We're using some of Quincy's music. So he's been on the top of the charts in Dallas for some of his music. Go to Spotify, check them out. What's your name on Spotify?
Quincy Forte.
So check that out. But we have an exciting topic today that started. The topic started in a forum that I was in a couple of weeks ago, but it's a trend I've noticed over the last couple of years. And I'm here to say, Quincy, that Terminus is not your ABM strategy. Demand base does not make an ABM strategy. Sixth Sense is not an ABM strategy. But a lot of people think it is. So what I see or what I think happens is somebody joins a company. Company says, hey, we're going after companies. We're trying to get an ACV of $100,000+, $50,000+. Let's do ABM. And literally, I think the first thing that happens is companies go and purchase display advertising management software to target these companies. But so that's I think where we are as an industry. but let's get into it. Quincy, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, so I think we can dive into it a little bit more, but like it's the way you phrased it is absolutely perfect in the sense that the tools are not your strategy. And so like, even let's back it out, look about how you build a PowerPoint. A lot of people say that you need to draft everything you're gonna say outside of the PowerPoint, and that's your strategy. And then you build the deck and you put the tools, the things in motion, right? And so like, that's how I think about ABM is like, you need to have a strategy and understanding what you're gonna do regardless of the platform. And then you can kind of put these things into motion and use these as supplements, as vitamins to daily nutrition of marketing to kind of bolster your program.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think when I started hearing about ABM from the very beginning, I didn't think the innovation would be with display advertising and being able to target whatever companies and being able to personalize those ads and the landing pages. Like, that is all great, but that's secondary. Yeah. And when I'm thinking about account-based marketing, ABX is another term I've heard that I think I can get on board with. But when I think about these, and when I look back at like what I thought the opportunity was, it was to get better data into the CRM to enable your sales team to have more effective conversations and to be able to do that, especially like kind of starting with these 50 to 100 to 200,000. We're even seeing a lot of SaaS companies with average deal size of $1 million right now. So that's great. But where I thought that the innovation would come would be, you know, here are the people you should talk to, like marketing to sales. Here are the people you should talk to. Here's what's happening at this company. Here's what the organizational structure is. So here are the people who you also should make sure are joining into this conversation because they're likely to be people who are purchasing. And I just haven't seen that much of that. I think Zoom Info's done a great job. I think even Sixth Sense, right? They have some really strong CRM integrations. Clearbit was really strong. I think still is, but I've seen people just seem to favor Zoom Info over the last couple of years, which was a little bit surprising, but good to see, good for Zoom Info. So I think when you're starting out an ABM strategy, you start with the sales and marketing integration. Make sure your marketing automation, your CRM system is set up to be able to recognize accounts, be able to recognize other people coming in from accounts, and be able to pass intent data in. Intent data being news stories that could help set your sales team up for a better conversation. All the augmented data that we're all used to getting these days in our CRM anyway, that comes from ZoomInfo and Clearbit and others. And then also focusing on activity around that company. So organizational structure, when somebody leaves the company, these are all the innovations. These are all the things that I was hoping for. So sales and marketing integration starts first. Then I move up the funnel. I know ABM people hate funnel analogy, but move up the funnel to engagement. So low hanging fruit. How do we get these people on the phone with our team? A lot of times I think people are skipping to display and they're skipping email, they're skipping events, they're skipping other ways that you can get one-to-one connections between your target accounts. Partner marketing is another one that I think is fantastic and completely overlooked from an ABM perspective. Let's make sure to get back there. And then finally, the last place you look as you kind of move up the most effective strategies is awareness and building out the display program. So we've actually had this a couple of times where companies come to us, they say, hey, we're doing ABM. What should we do? Should we get Terminus? Should we get demand-based? What are you guys thinking? And you and I have both been in conversations where we're like, slow down. You can do a lot of this stuff out of the box. Let's make sure your CRM structure is correct. And we can do a lot of this on Facebook with outbound email and through LinkedIn targeting in order to get companies, target the right companies.
Yeah. And so, no, I think that's great. And I think that, like, to add on to that, like, I think there's a few questions because you mentioned technology. So I'll go here that people need to ask when they're thinking about implementing ABM and things like that, right? And it is one of your things is, what's the MVP? Like, are we investing in this tool to like get out of the box, like all the feature functionality, or is there a way that we can start small and scale it and grow kind of the programs as we get into how our core competencies. And that's like, what is our team able to do now today? Do we need the giant, like everything, let's put all the bells and whistles on the Tahoe or whatever, or can we get the base model, right? And then like, All right, get a better job and like scale up and get the better Tahoe.
Right.
So, yeah. And I don't think a lot of people are thinking that way because they feel like they're behind the eight ball in a sense. And they're like, oh, we're trying to catch up. And like this ABM thing is popping. They're seeing these success stories, 100% over your growth year over year, month over month for revenue and all this stuff. And they think that like out of the box, I can get this. If I just get this tool, it's the solve to all my things.
So. Yeah. And I think so much of ABM, because of how you're kicking it off, you don't need like massive scale. There shouldn't be such a race to massive scale from the very beginning.
Yep.
Which I think is the point that I love with the Tahoe. It's like, get the base level. You can still start going off-roading in it. You're going to find out if you like it. You're going to find out if it's successful. And you'll also start to see the strategies that are most successful. So it may be that display. I know this is crazy to a lot of people out there. It may be that display is not going to be your most successful ABM strategy. It may be that there are other things that you can be doing in order that display is maybe helping with and certainly will be a percentage, and it's a great way to get in front of people. But, you know, it's just interesting to me how we ignored display for many years, with kind of the more transactional companies, smaller deal sizes, companies that were typically doing quote unquote inbound, because we didn't see that much recall with the user when we were showing ads on the display network or through Rollworks or through, going directly to the Wall Street Journal or New York Times or TechCrunch to purchase impressions. We just didn't see that much recall from users who had seen those banners You know, we like in all the brand lift tests, I didn't see that. I see more of that through Facebook and LinkedIn. I think the advertising, the way it shows up, is just a little bit better. But it's interesting to me now how we're trying to get in front of, you know, five people at a company who are going to help make a decision about a product that's going to cost them $100,000 to $1 million annually. And we're thinking display is going to be the right, is going to be the right tool in the tool set for them to use. And I certainly think it's a part of the mix, but I don't think it's, I don't think you push all your chips in on that. I think there's still content, there's still email, there's still other plays that you can do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad you went there because like to your main point, the marketing and sales integration like is huge. And like thinking of like, we've mentioned a few of these technologies, like they're just small components, right? Like, but your overall strategy has to involve everybody. You need to understand like, what are the workflows that as these leads are coming in, as you scale these things, like what are all the things in motion? Not just what marketing is doing. Hey, what is sales doing after like these people are showing signals, they're raising hands, like they're, whatever scoring system you have or metrics that you're looking at as far as like penetration, as those numbers are going up, like how are you being nimble and kind of adjusting your strategy and saying, hey, sales team, like this person is showing, or this company or organization is showing increased signal, increased yes. awareness, right? And so like, let's devise a plan, like, so if that happens, like this is what you should do, and like let's type that playbook on that account. So
talk to me, like, because you've set up the ABM motion at a number of the companies that we work with. How are you thinking about segmentation, and how are you thinking about personalization?
Yeah, for sure. And so like I think that a lot of times as we're having these conversations, like people aren't thinking about who we're trying to reach, their particular pain points as far as segmentation. And then like, how are we doing it, right? Like, is it one-to-one as far as trying to talk to a key stakeholder, or is it like one-to-many in the sense that that would be how we segment them? A lot of times we segment them in the verticals and industries, right? Like to say, hey, like if you're in the automotive industry or whatever, like this is how we're gonna kind of think about you and your messaging and your potential pain points.
Yeah.
And then like going a level deeper on the personalization is talking to those pain points. Like, are we creating customer or custom content to speak to those pain points? If we're doing a one-to-one, are we adding our logo in with that brand's logo, adding their name into the messaging to say, hey, somebody at Hewlett Packard, like, these people are using this at your organization, X, whatever, yeah. like you should be utilizing this too, sort of thing. Like everybody else.
So that's great when we're talking about like a bottoms up motion, right? When, yep. when, you know, when we're at Yesware, one of our big customers was Groupon. And this is when they had hundreds of salespeople. I bet they still have hundreds of salespeople, but they had a big sales team and we were looking to grow within. And so that's a nice way to leverage that. You know, either to get more people in that company to use the product, or to get to the top person and say, hey, look, you have a bunch of people using this product inside of your company. Let's have a conversation about how you can make this even more effective.
Yep.
Okay. And then how are you looking at like the top down sale when you're trying to get to that kind of key stakeholder?
Yeah. And so a lot of it is like you said, we're looking at kind of driving that awareness as far as like how or like are people understanding who we are, what we do, and then sort of just nurturing them essentially. To me, it becomes that same sort of almost demand gen legion sort of effort, but with a account specific play, still talking to the pain points in the customer journey, right? Still trying to get them further down funnel with more like the demo, or trying to get them more engaged as far as showing higher intent signals.
Yeah.
But then also looping that in with the sales team. Like we talk about like those motions. And so arming kind of the sales team to where if they show these signals, they can kick off this motion to an email cadence or a workflow, a sequence, a sales sequence in some of their CRM tools to say, hey, they're showing these intent signals. Let's pull them out of this channel specifically. Get them over to email, more personalized, more hand-to-hand combat. And if they show kind of staleness or they're not engaging, let's put them back into an audience and retarget, remarket to them to try and get them further down.
Yeah. And let's talk about intent real quick, because I think there are different types of intent. I think what you're talking about is someone who's starting to raise their hand, show a lot of interest, and show major signals to want to purchase. And when you can get those signals, great. So that would be somebody requesting a demo, somebody starting a trial, at a very high level, somebody coming to your site, looking at the pricing page, looking at the product pages, looking at other serious high intent pages on your site. And then I think another thing that people dismiss or people don't think about when they're looking at intent signals, especially in ABM, is, you know, they're the Bomboras and different, and ZoomInfo has an intent product that are supposed to show you when somebody is in market. And those are great. That is low hanging fruit. If you're not doing that, make sure you're paying attention to that, because you want to get that data on your customers. The other place where I think people miss intent is the data that helps you decide who you should be targeting. So thinking about the intent signals that are signals that somebody may be ready to purchase, right? So if somebody buys a house in the suburbs, they might be ready for an SUV, right? It might, might be time. So that you don't just need to go out and get the direct purchasing signals. Sometimes when a company raises a Series B, it means they're about to scale up their sales team. So if you're selling a CRM, you're selling a sales product, when they raise that money, that might be a signal that, hey, we should start adding people into these campaigns. You know the pain that those people are going through, you know what the challenges are, because at a high level, the processes that companies are going through, and it's not just raising money. It can be a company signs a lease, a company, you can get that data. It could be that a company announces an expansion into Europe. There are certainly companies that would want to sell to them. So getting creative, I think this is marketing op, revenue operations, demand generations, opportunity to be creative. And certainly that data is out there and you can trigger campaigns based off of that. And that helps you to know your ICP a little bit more. But I think those types of events also should be paid attention to. But I took us on a sidetrack there. I'll let you get us back on topic.
No, I love that. And like, maybe this will be a transition back. But I think what you're talking about are like, so everybody thinks of it as primary signals, right? Like, so you have your primary signals. Our customer does this. And like, this is like you were saying, hey, purchase intent. But then there are secondary and tertiary signals. Like if a big social media like strategy is to like look at travel, right? Like, so if you're a travel person, like you're not only looking at people traveling to destinations, you're looking at like anybody maybe shopping for luggage. Like, and so like, maybe I can like offer them like travel things, because if they're looking in the luggage, they're probably going to look in the travel or doing these things. And so it's just kind of like looking at the secondary and tertiary signals. But I think that goes all the way back to how you're thinking about your strategy and how you're thinking about your segmentation and like how all of this exists before a platform, MVP, and it's aligning back to the business. Like, you have to understand your business as a marketer. You have to understand like your sales team, like as a marketer, and the business goals. But then think really creatively about all the caveats of your business, right? Because it's not really direct. Sometimes there are winding pathways to get to like where you want to go to grow that revenue, right? So
yeah.
And so, yeah, that's just how I was thinking about it. Like, I think that how you put it was actually great. So,
yeah. And then the not all, I think account based also, it doesn't just end with the purchase. I think enabling your account management team to stay up to date what's going on in the company, a tool I love. And I think Drift purchased a company a couple of years ago, SiftRock. I haven't used it. I have used Lead Gnome. I'm a fan. But these are tools that will monitor the replies you get from outbound campaigns. And when it says so-and-so is no longer working at this company, it will alert you. And those are great opportunities to reach out. But I think also getting that intelligence on what's going on inside of a company that you've already sold into, because when you've sold them a $100,000 product, there's probably other ways that you can upsell those companies as well. So I'm a fan of demand generation, having a target for upsells. And I think that's especially true and easier to track, easier to measure when you're going after larger average deal sizes.
Do you think, or what's your thoughts on, like, should there be a separate team? Like, is this the customer success team? Is this the traditional marketing team? How are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I think it depends on the size of company and the amount that somebody can focus, right? But I think for the first couple of years, you're in business, first 5 years, you're in business until you get to 8 million in revenue. Probably most of your focus in demand generation should be on acquiring new logos.
Yeah.
And then from there, it kind of depends on the industry. From there, there's probably going to be additional focus on upselling and expansion. And so, yeah, I think demand generation should certainly play a piece in that, because they have the marketing on they know the marketing automation stack. They're a little bit more attuned to the types of tools that are going to enable you to understand some of the changes that are happening in companies.
And I think the last component that, like, doesn't get touted on maybe like the top five ABM things, and it sounds like it's been the underlying theme of kind of the things that we've been talking about, is like the feedback loop. Like, there is like a necessary feedback loop for all of this to even work, right? Like, because there's no like one size fits all. It's not a rigid strategy that you can just set it and forget it. Like, you need feedback, you need evolution in the process in order to like see success, like over time, repeated success.
Yeah.
So cool.
So in closing, talk about, like, let's close this off with, I'll provide an overview on ABM, but why don't you provide an overview on kind of display marketing, segmentation, personalization, like key learnings, and then we'll jump into closing thoughts.
Cool. So, overview, like, components of a good ABM are proper segmentation, know who you're trying to reach, know the roles that they're in, what's the tactic? Is it one-to-one? Is it one-to-many? How are you approaching these people? Your tools are only as smart, as John alluded to, as the data that you have. Like, a lot of these tools are dumb. Let's just put it that way. They're dumb tools, but you need to put in really great data in order to make it effective. And then the second component of it is the personalization, right? Like, if you're not doing some degree of personalization, again, this is not your main play, but like, people like to hear their name, right? Like, so if you're talking to somebody, one of the main arts of communication are like, repeat people's name. They love to hear their name, and they make something light up in their brain. And so that's what I think about when I think of personalization. If somebody is at a company, and they see their name and they're like, yo, other people are using this technology at my company, whatever it is, or you see your name with their logo, it just kind of imprints it in your brain, right? If I go to a website and I have like a custom experience. Like I'm like, these people feel me, they see me, right? Like as far as a company. And so that's a small psychological sort of trigger in trying to turn the corner a little bit. And so personalization needs to be a part of your strategy. The segmentation needs to be a part of your strategy. And then the last component that I have is kind of the technology. Like you need to understand if it fits into your current tech stack, do I have the core competencies? And if I don't have the core competencies, what's it going to take to get those core competencies, time, in order to be successful? Can we launch an MVP? And then is it scalable, right? Like, do I have to do like the all up thing and have a mandatory spend level for whatever, or can I just start small, get my bearings, and kind of grow it? And so those are my thoughts on ABM, and I'll let you kind of go through your summary.
Sounds good. Yeah. And I would say our ABM strategies break down into three pieces: sales and marketing integration, figuring out the CRM, marketing automation system. Those are the keys to starting a good ABM strategy. Then moving up to engagement and figuring out the low-hanging fruit ways to get in front of people. Not how are we going to attract them? How are we going to get interested? But how can we directly drive conversations with people through LinkedIn, through email outreach, through people who've already been in touch with us previously? And then fourth and final is building out the awareness piece. How do you grow demand? How do you make sure you're continuing to attract new people in? Because if you don't solve those first two first, you don't know how to engage people. You don't know how to set your sales team up for good conversations. You're going to waste a lot of money on creating that demand first. So thank you all. I think we're going to have Quincy Forte play us out with this song. Thanks to Gonzalo for editing all these videos and helping us out with the audio as well. Thank you. Have a good one. That's all from the Compound Growth Show.